It's a kavod and a schia for Beis Medrash Ar Chaim's night koilel. Now learning, we just began Hilchas Mila to hear a shir for Reb Lezer Kron Shlita, a moel mumcha, a magid shir, to hear a first-hand overview from a moel, the halachas. Rabbi Kron is a sixth-generation moel, and that includes the shaychas to the shiners. Reb Lezer Kron's great-grandfather was the moel to my grandfather, Reb Reuven Shiner. So it goes back already a while back, the mila. His chashuva father, Reb Pesach Kron, speaks here from year to year, comes, you know, for Shabbos, Mo'ir, to Torah, to Tefillah, to Yerushamayim. And now it's a kavod to be able to hear on halachas and hilchas mila. Rabbi Kron also gives shurim on other halachas, hilchas yichud, which we just learned during the winter. And now it's a kavod and a tzchiyah to hear a shir akdama, halacha lamais on hilchas mila. Rabbi Lezer Kron shlita.
Shikar Chav Nachum, it's a schus to be here. I was told, not just by Rav Nachum, but by others, that the Gevaldika learning that goes on over here, day after day, morning, night, Ashrecha, it's a schus really to be here. And I was asked to come talk a little bit about Bris Mila. You're learning Night Seder. I see you're learning Alpi the Shulchan Aruch, not so much Alpi the Blat in Reb Lezer Mila, but Alpi Shulchan Aruch. So we're going to try to just explain. Rav Nachum mentioned some of the halachos, we'll get to that, but just first to explain, if you're going to be learning Hilchos Mila, you're going to come up with a lot of terms that you're not really familiar with. So just let's start off, we'll explain just the Metzias a little bit, and we'll get to different minhagim and different halachos, different shitas, as we go along. So, first things first, you have a baby, you open up the diaper. Before the bris, what does it look like? What does it look like before the bris? You're going to be coming across terms that it's important to know what we're talking about. So before anything is done, you'll see that the baby looks like this. Inside is the atara, the crown, the glands, and it's covered by the arla, by the foreskin. When you look at it, you could only see one skin. All you could see is one skin, and that's the arla skin. There's really a second skin underneath. In English, it's called the mucous membrane. That's the priya skin, the arha priya. The priya skin is not visible before anything is done, and it's very thin, it's very slippery. It's mamish in between the atara, it's on the atara, it's a little bit attached to the atara, and it ends right behind the atara, and it's connected to the arla on top of it. So that's two skins. What the mile does, we'll talk about the details as we go along, but the arla skin is pulled up in front of the atara. Most moelim use a protective shield. We'll talk about the clamp. We'll get there. But the regular protective shield in front of the atara, this way chas v'shalom, the atara is not touched. The skin is in front. The skin is cut off like this, and then the atara pops out. The atara is not touched. The atara pops out like that. So there's no bleeding from the top. The bleeding is from on bottom by the incision. That's where the cut was. Everything was pulled up. The incision was cut. And the skin was cut, and then it pops out. I've had mothers sometimes, you know, when you come back the next day to take off the bandage, or 2 days later to take off the bandage, so it always bleeds a little bit when the bandage comes off, because it irritates it, so not a big deal. You control the bleeding, but it bleeds from on bottom. That's where it's bleeding from. Sometimes over here, sometimes around, but it's not bleeding from on top. So when they ask, well, why is it bleeding from that spot? You know, sometimes they just stay away. Sometimes they're like watching you like a hawk. So that's where the incision was. That's where the cut was. And then it all heals starting at that point. So how does the mile go about doing that? So first is the discussion of probing. To probe. What's a probe? If you ever watch a bris, I know a lot of people like watching bris and mamish, are like looking over the standing. So what are you looking at? There's a probe. It's a long, skinny metal utensil. It's not sharp, chas v'shalom, it's not sharp. And They go inside. The Arla, just like the Atara has a hole where the baby urinates from, so the Arla also has a hole where the baby urinates from. So you go inside and you go underneath the Priya skin above the Atara. Obviously not inside the hole of the Atara, but you go around the Atara underneath the Priya skin. This way this separates the adhesions. Go around once or twice. Sometimes people go around extra times just to make sure you get all the adhesions. And this way the probe is inside and it separates the Priya skin from the Atara. There are a lot of Ma'alim that, I shouldn't say a lot, but there are a good number of Ma'alim that they don't probe. They don't probe. And they'll already skip to, let's call it step two, and they don't separate the Priya skin from the Atara. So what do they do? So they say you don't have to separate it. See if it's a little bit attached, it's good. So you'll separate it with your fingernails afterwards, which we'll talk about. But there are Ma'alim, and I'm sure a lot of you have heard of the Ma'al Yasala in Eretz Yisrael. He's not alive anymore. His son, Maishala Weisberg, his son took him over. Yasala had a method where he didn't have to probe, where he stuck his fingernail, long, skinny fingernail, and he stuck it inside, and he snapped it down. He snapped down the Atara a certain way, and that, boom, that freed up the Priya skin from the Atara. You have to be a real, real mumcha to be able to do that.
Necessary to free the Priya from that.
Oh, so then when we get to step two, we'll see in a second. But you're right. Some, like I said, some people don't probe at all. They don't probe at all. But we'll see the advantage to that in a moment. Very good. See, he had a mahalach that he could snap it down. I believe his son Maishala does that also. And his Talmidim, I think, sometimes do that. But you got to know what you're doing. If you want to separate the Priya skin from the Atara, so if you're not going to probe, you're going to do a thing like that, you gotta make sure you're doing it properly. But
am I hearing you right? Are you saying there's two skins?
There's two skins. So far, I'm focusing now on the Priya skin, which is the inside skin.
And then there's one.
Then there's the Arla skin on top.
Which is the one that you cut?
So for sure, you have to cut the Arla skin. We're going to get to what exactly do you do with that Priya skin. Do you cut it? Do you do something else with it? That we're going to get to in momentarily. So that's step number one. A lot of times, some Ma'alim, they probe, but they probe in the other room. They probe in the other room first. Why do they probe in the other room first? I don't do that. I do like my father and the Ma'al that trained me in Eretz Yisrael, that I probe on the Sandik lap. There's a couple of reasons why people probe in the other room. Perhaps they don't want people watching them, and they want to be able to probe benachas, and nobody's watching them. Everyone's busy with chazar sashatz, and they're in on the roof probing. This way, they don't have to worry. Maybe they'll have somebody else hold the legs. They'll have the father or the mother or an assistant hold the legs. This way, they don't have people watching them. It could be there's other reasons why they probe. Maybe they want to look so fast that this way, when everyone comes, they're already probed. So it knocks off like 5 or 7 seconds to the bris. So it's quite impressive that, wow, he's so fast, as if that's a compliment to a Moil, that he's so fast. Wow, that guy, that heart surgeon, he is so fast. That I don't know, that's not a Moila to me. But fine, but people are impressed by that. That could be why Moilim do it. I'm not here to say why other people do things. I do like my father. I probe on the sounding slab.
Is there a blood bite?
Oh, that's mamash what I'm going to get to next, and then we're finished with the probing. Many times, not always, but many times, there's bleeding when it probes, especially when it's a tight gid, when it's a tight bris. If the Arla is tight up against the Atara, every baby's different. When it's tight up against the Atara, if it's a very small hole, that's usually an indication that it's very tight up against the Atara. The more tight it is, the more of a chance there will be bleeding. Are you allowed to probe on Shabbos? We know you're allowed to do a bris on Shabbos if it's the eighth day, Yom HaShmini, we pass in that is Deicha Shabbos. But what about the probing? Is the probing Deicha Shabbos or not? So I'm sure you all know about the sugyas of Dovah Shein Mischaven, and Psikresha Don Nichalei. Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Avadi Yosef say you are allowed to probe on Shabbos. They say it's not a Psikresha. They don't need my approval, but that definitely is true, that it's not a Psikresha, that it's going to bleed. It might depend if there's a vein over there. A lot of times when you probe, you get stuck on a vein, and you just got to like push through it. You can't be scared. You just got to push through the vein, and when it goes to the vein, so then a lot of times, and then ends up bleeding. So sometimes it bleeds, sometimes it doesn't bleed, but if it bleeds, you know, you just got to move on. That's part of being a mother. It's going to bleed, you just wipe it away, make sure it's not slippery, of course, and you move on to step two. So sometimes it bleeds, sometimes it doesn't. I know Rabbi Yashiv holds that you can't probe on Shabbos. I remember when I was in Eretz Yisrael, so I lived in Eretz Yisrael for 5 years, and so one of my friends from the Chabura, he had a baby boy, and this was before I was a Mayil. So he said, can I ask you a question? He said, the Mayil came to my house Friday afternoon. It was a Shabbos bris, and he asked me this on Tuesday. He said, the Mayil came to my house on Friday afternoon, and he probed. He stuck something inside the baby, and he did something on Friday afternoon. The bris was Shabbos morning. What was it? I was embarrassed to ask him, whatever, or maybe he wasn't home, and his wife told him. So I said, he was going with the Shita that you can't probe on Shabbos, but he wanted to probe. So he probed before Shabbos. Mamash, like, almost 24 hours before the bris, 12 hours before the bris, he probed, which is amazing. So if it bleeds, it'll stop in a couple of minutes. It never bleeds.
What's amazing about that?
And you just like, he so much wanted to probe, but he passed in. He went with the shitas that he's going to go.
Shouldn't he probe? The downside
of probing, because a lot of times, especially if it's tight, it'll swell up. It'll get swollen. If it gets swollen, so that makes not everything kashura sometimes. So good. So it could be that he wasn't concerned about that, or it could be he knew it. He expected it not to swell, or to figure it'll go down, or even if it did swell, maybe he didn't care. But there are definitely people that do that.
Is it a concern of the adhesions sticking back?
No, once it's separated, it's not going to. Maybe after a long, long time, but definitely not by the next day. Once it's separated, it's separated. The next is the chituch itself. So you pull up the skin and you cut the skin. The amount of skin that's supposed to be cut generally is right past the atara. Obviously, you have to be megala the atara. You reveal the atara. So you have to cut enough skin that once the skin is removed, the atara will be revealed. You don't want to take off too little. You don't want to take off too much, obviously. So the amount is right past the atara. If it's a very short gid, it's got to be very, very careful, because right past the atara is already the stomach. It's already the batim. It's already the scrotum. So you got to be very, very careful. But so too when it's very long, you have to be careful, because you don't want to go also too far. You don't want to go too little. So you have to be mishayer exactly right past the atara to cut at that point. What happens to the priya skin? How do we take care of the priya skin? I don't know if you got up to the Shulchan Aruch yet that says, it's a Mishnah, mol v'loi para ke'ilu loi mol. That if you do mila, which means you remove the arla skin, but v'loi para, you don't take care of, which we'll talk about in a second, the priya skin, ke'ilu loi mol, you weren't yet to the mitzvah, mideraisa. It's not a kosher bris whatsoever. So what do we do with that priya skin? So the Shulchan Aruch says, Reish Samach Dalet Sif Gimel. If you just started, you're probably not up to Reish Samach Dalet. Reish Samach Dalet Sif Gimel. V'achar kach peirin es hakrum harach shalamata. It's a krum harach, it's a thin skin. Peirin, you reveal it back. Me ha'ar from the skin. Bitsi peirin, with the fingernails. U'machziru lekan lekan, and you put it back, lekan lekan, to each side. Achiyira basa atara. Until the atara is revealed. The Shulchan Aruch Makar is a Rambam. You tear it back with your tzipranayim, with the fingernails.
Pull it back or tear it?
You have to tear it. You pick it up. It's hard to pick it up because it's slippery. And you tear it back. You see a lot of Moilim, they have the sharp thumbnails. You ever notice that? The Moilim have the sharp thumbnails. Those are the people that do Priya, but tzipranayim. They tear it back. The Moil that taught me in Eretz Yisrael, he would tell me 100 times, he said, Lo tzirich tzipranayim, tzirich ladat technique. He said, you don't need fingernails. He had flat fingernails, and he did a priya. He said, you have to know how to do it, and you don't need the fingernails, but it helps. They talk about, Chassam Sofer, I think, talks about Mayel fixing his fingernails on Chol HaMoed. Is that mutter? Is that not mutter? It helps to have longer fingernails or sharp fingernails if you do priya, bitsi par. So that's certainly what the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam say. So the Achronim discuss, I don't know if you'll come across this, but the Achronim discuss, does it have to be with the tzipranayim, or does it not have to be with tzipranayim? The Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch say you do it with the fingernails, but it doesn't have to be with the fingernails. The Binyan Siyan, and I'm going to give him a chance. The Binyan Siyan and the Minchas Yitzchak and others, they say that you should not change the minuk. That's the way it always was done, with the fingernails. The arla skin is cut. The arla skin is cut. And the priya skin, whenever you cut, some of the priya skin comes with it, but most of it is still there. You tear back Betzipanayim, and they feel that it shouldn't be changed. They bring a Yalkut in Tehillim, Tavshin Chav Gimel. The David Melech says, Kol Atzmoisai Tamarna, all of my body parts praise Hashem. Tzipayren, what's with the fingernails? I do priya, says David Melech, I do priya with the tzipayren. The knees, grada, he says, is as a sandik. All the Heintek Tshuvas, they bring a tshuva from Rav Haigoin. Rav Haigoin says that by him, they use a certain kli. In English, we call it a hemostat. A hemostat looks like a scissors, but it's not a scissors, it's not sharp. But it chaps the two skins together, and it holds together the Arla skin and the Priya skin. He calls it the Klipa Tachtoina, the Priya. And Choyte Chesa Bevas Achas, as Dr. Feigoin, Vishaper Dummy, and it's fine. Ve'ein Roya Lachtech Vishnei Pamen. You don't have to cut twice. You cut the Arla skin, and then you tear it again with the fingernails. Says Rav Haigoin, a tshuva from Rav Haigoin, that you don't have to do that. You could do it. You cut, you chop them together both, and you cut off the Priya skin, the Vasachas, at the same time. Say, so now, the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch don't say like Rav Haigoin. So some say that, nah, that's because the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch didn't see Rav Haigoin. They didn't have a tshuva Rav Haigoin. If they would have seen Rav Haigoin, they would have also been masking that you could do it like that. Other Paiskim say, no, Rav Shevet Alevi, Chelek Dalet, Kufla Amagimel says, nah, that's a doichek, what they didn't know about Rav Haigoin. They said they probably knew about Rav Haigoin, and they were Chelek, they argued on Rav Haigoin. Let me finish.
No, I just want to clarify that. See, it's the, you're talking about, you didn't clarify why. You pulled up the Arla.
Right.
The Arla Priya is connected to the
It's not connected because it's very slippery. It's very slippery. When you do the Tfisa, we call it, on the Arla, not all of the Arla Priya will come with it if you do it with your bare hands. If you do it with the hemostat, so it chaps it together, it closes it together.
When you pull up the Arla,
not all of the Arla Priya won't come with it. Some of it will come. Some of it will come, but not all of it. Sometimes you will be matzliach to get
because
all of it,
but stretches or because it's not connected,
it's just very slippery.
To the Arla.
It's very slippery, and it'll slip back. It'll slip back.
It's not connected to the Arla.
Not completely. Not completely. It's slippery enough that when you pull up on the Arla skin, not all of it will come with it. It won't completely come with it. Some of it will slip back. So some of it comes with it, and when you cut, the Priya skin will come with it. Some of it, always, almost always, some of it. At least if you probe, it's not fully connected. It's connected, but it's very loose. It's very loose. I could save you an Arla for the next time and show you. It's loose enough that it'll slip back. So the Shevet Levi says no, it's not. They probably knew about it and they argued. It's well known that Rav Moshe Feinstein has two tshuvas: Yardeya Chelak Aleph Kuf Nun Hey and Chelak Gimel Tzadi Ches. Very strong lashonis. He learns the Yerushalmi like Rav Haigoin. He brings the Yerushalmi. He says that the Karban Eda and the Pnei Moshe misunderstood the Yerushalmi, and they don't know what he says. He says very strong. He blows them away. He says they learned the Yerushalmi wrong. He learns a certain Yerushalmi. You could look it up again. Chelak Aleph Kuf Nun Hey and Chelak Gimel Tzadi Ches. He says Yerushalmi is like Rav Haigoin, and Rav Moshe Feinstein says very, very strong. Those of you familiar with the Igros Moshe, he's usually very zis and very, you know, he's very sharp. He says Menolon Shuv Loimer Me'atzmenu Din Chodosh She'af Mitzvah Lechadchila She'yasu Apriya Davka Bitziporin. He says, where do you even find that it's even a mitzvah lechadchila to do a tzipayrin? He knows that the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch say that. He says, but it doesn't have to be like that. He says, who says that it has to be like that? L'chein poshut, she'ein shum chiluk be'eza oifen yaseh, im be'kriya b'tzipayrin, oi be'chituch, either whether you tear it back or you cut it, the mitzvah hayashe yigala ha'atara gama or harach. As long as the atara is revealed, that's enough. So, like we said before, I told you right away, not everybody agrees to this Igus Maisha. But that's what Igus Maisha says, and every mile has his mahalach, maybe how he trained, and maybe he developed his own way. But he says clearly, he says twice in Tshuva very strongly that there's not even a mitzvah lechadchila. A machalik is amongst the paiskim, every mile has his way that he does it. The advantage, why would somebody in a metzias, why would they want to use the hemostat? So first of all, it's much easier. You don't have to do the tfisa with your bare hands. It's much easier to chop with the hemostat, because so you're holding onto the hemostat also with your hands, but you have the hemostat, it's holding the skin right there. It gets the tfisa, it makes the tfisa much easier. And second of all, like you pointed out before, that it heals better the less Priya skin there is. Why? Let's say you have a short gid. So just picture it for a moment. You have the atara. How much space is there from the edge of the atara to the beitzim, to the scrotum? If it's a short atara, every baby is born different, there's not a lot of room. There's really not a lot of room. So if you have a lot of Priya skin left over, where's it supposed to go? It's supposed to grow in onto the shaft. So if it's a long shaft, so good, you'll have plenty of space for it to grow in. If it's a short shaft, so now there's a great incentive to have less Priya skin remaining. Again, I repeat, the Shevet Alevi says, that's not a good enough reason to use a hemostat. That's not a good, it'll heal, it'll grow in, don't worry about it. So, good, the Paiskim have a machlekes about it. But that's where it comes from, that Rav Moshe wasn't talking about the Metzias. He was just saying, lahalacha, that it's not a problem. But that's where you'll find the advantage of Metzias to use a hemostat. Now, definitely Mayalim, I've seen Moshele do it. I've seen with my own eyes that there are situations where even he uses a hemostat. If it's very, very short, I was once at a bris and he's so chilled. He doesn't check the baby before. He walks into the door. Clatter. Have you ever seen Moshele do a bris? See, he walked in. I've seen him. He walked in. He opens up the diaper on the Sandik's lap for the first time. He's done countless. So he doesn't like it. It's not a problem for him. He sees it. He says, Oive. Must use a mosquito, and a hemostat is a mosquito in Hebrew. So good, he decides on the spot, so he has to use a hemostat. Good, so there are times where you have to make a decision, yesh v'yesh. But those are the basic two mahachim. I saw in the Sefer Abris, Reb Peretinsky, he brings that a mayel that was ruggled, this is all Mipi HaShmua, this part, he says that a mayel that was ruggled by the Chazon Ish, he did Bavas Achas, he did the Mila and the Priya Bavas Achas, which means you do it at once, you cut it all at once.
And the hemostat.
With the hemostat, correct, all Bavas Achas, he cut it all at once, chopping it with the hemostat, and the Chazon Ish said, Ein bezech shash ve'efshel lechadchila lases kain. It's Mipi HaShmua, it's not like the Chazon Ish wrote it somewhere, but that's what he said, and Yesh v'yesh, those are the two mahalchim to do the bris. So we have the probing that separates the priya skin, and like you pointed out before, thank you, that when, if you want to use a hemostat, I think almost everybody that uses a hemostat probes first. Because if you're going to get the hemostat, you have to get the hemostat underneath the priya skin. So if it's that is tightly attached to the atara, it's going to be very hard to get underneath the priya skin above the atara, unless you probed, unless you separated all the adhesions. So anybody uses a hemostat, you use the probe to separate it first. Clearing if I should say a certain story, well, maybe. We'll see. Should say it? I'll say it. I watched another mile a few times. I flew to a certain place. I flew and I watched him a few times, and because he's an excellent mile, my father felt that I could learn from him. So I flew. I took. I was in Kail then, but I felt it was proper. And he probed with the hemostat. He didn't use a probe. He probed with the hemostat, which means that instead of opening it, he kept it closed. He locked it closed, and he went in with the hemostat and he went around like that. He did it very fast because he's doing very, very fast. He probed with the hemostat. That's too sticky for me. I'm not such a sticky person. I probe with the probe, then I put the probe down, and I probe and do the hemostat. It happened once, Baruch Hashem, this only happened once, that I picked up the probe and I dropped it. It fell. I dropped it. I don't know what happened. I'm sad. Things happen. You drop things sometimes. So I dropped the probe on the floor. Now, it happened to be, it was in a shul. It didn't have carpet. So cling, you know, like, it was, you can't hide it. You know, anyway, not that I would have picked it up and used it anyways, but it was like, it was clear. So what do I do? So I said, on the spot. I said, Yashakayach to this mile on the spot. I picked up my hemostat and I probed it to hemostat. I probed it to hemostat and I took it out and then I used it like regular. So there are other eifanim to do it. I know a mile in Eretz Yisrael. He, you know, like the game Pick Up Sticks? You know the game Pick Up Sticks that the kids play with? So he sterilizes them and he probes with a pickup stick. Only in Eretz Yisrael you could get away with that. But I said, what is that? He said, it's a toy. He took it from one of his kids and he sterilized, at least told me he sterilized it. And I probably like wiped it off in his mouth. I don't know. But then he probed like that. So that's one way to do it. A clamp. What's a clamp? Everybody asks me, do you use a clamp? Chas v'shalom, I don't use a clamp. When I was certified, I'm certified by the Chief Rabbanut of Eretz Yisrael. Before they finalized my certification, they made me sign a shtar that was signed from Rabbi Yashiv that I'm never going to use a clamp. Now, I wasn't planning on using a clamp, so I had no problem signing it. But it made me promise, I had to sign on a piece of paper that I'm never going to use a clamp. What's a clamp? A clamp... So before we talk about a clamp, talk about a shield. A shield is that you put a protective shield right in front of the atara, and the skin is in front of the atara. The skin is in front of the atara, and all the skin that's in front of the shield, you cut, you take the knife, and you cut flush against the shield, cut off all the skin that's in front of the shield. That's a regular shield. What's a shield in Hebrew? A mugging. The mugging clamp was invented in the 1950s, it's a shield, but there's a lever on the bottom, and you close it on the bottom, and it crushes the arla. It crushes the nerve endings and the veins, and it looks just like a shield, just with a lever on the bottom. And you close it, you snap it closed, and it crushes it closed. So why the Peskim so again? So what's the advantage? Why would someone want to use this? Because it controls the bleeding amazingly. It is very, very little bleeding, because it crushes the nerve endings, it crushes the veins, and there's hardly any bleeding. You don't even have to put on a bandage. You could just you cut off that skin, and you just take off the clamp, and that's it. You could put on a bandage to look good, but if you don't want them to look at it for the first 12 hours, really, you probably would not even need a bandage whatsoever. So the Peskim are against it, as you could see. You could only get certified by the Rabbanut in Eretz Yisrael and the Yerushalayim if you sign. You're not going to use the clamp. There's four problems. Number one, they say that there's no blood. You learn, I don't know, you'll probably come up to it, that it has to be blood. It has to be dam bris. It's a separate din. It has to be dam bris. We'll talk about how tough is dam bris shortly. It has to be dam. So they say there's no dam. So it's not such a taina, because I've watched clamps being used many, many, many times. I've never used one in my life, neither has my father. But I've seen clamps being used by other mayalim and other doctors. There's a little bit of blood. And even if there isn't, it's not a big deal. You just mutchatzach a little bit, you touch it, it's going to start to bleed. So, kemen and eitzah geben, you can get blood out of it, but that's taina number one. Taina number two, which was the main taina, is that it's tsar d'yanuka. It's extra pain for the baby. It's very painful. It crushes the nerve endings and the veins. So, extra tsar d'yanuka. That's why they're against it. Number three, they taina that maybe it's a bracha levatala. Why? Because once you close it, the skin is like, it's dead skin. It's dead. It's totally crushed. So now you go ahead and make a bracha, and then you cut it off. It was already cut before. It was already dead skin. So it's a bracha levatala. Rabbi Yashiv says he doesn't think it's a bracha levatala. That's not his problem with it. He says he's still Isaac in the Maisa Milo. So he holds it's not like you made the bracha afterwards. Anyways, isn't there machlekes Rambam Magoy Sashri if you can make a bracha after? Anyways, so fine. So Rabbi Yashiv was not bothered by the bracha.
And bracha before the cross.
That's over over. It's too far in advance. It's probably too far in advance. And number four is that you're missing out on Priya B'Tzipayrin, because when you crush it closed, nothing is slipping out from there. There's nothing slipping out. So the Priya skin is totally off. Okay, good. So we had a tshuva from Rav Moshe that, you don't have to do Priya B'Tzipayrin. It could be cut off in Gansen. So also that taina, according to those opinions, that you don't need to do Priya with your fingernails, that wouldn't the boon be tenor. Rav Moshe writes in his tshuva that he says, I don't go to a bris that a clamp is used. I don't go to a bris that a clamp is used. He said, Rav Moshe is also against it. And so, good. So that's about a clamp.
Now you lost me in the metzias.
Sorry?
And now you lost me in the metzias. If you didn't use a hemostat...
Oh, anyone who uses a clamp uses a hemostat. But
so then if you're using a hemostat, you're anyway not making Priya B'Tzipayrin.
When the hemostat, a lot of times there'll still be a little bit of Priya skin left. A little bit, it's
so
very possible.
And still do a Priya B'Tzipayrin.
This is not so much, this last taina is not the biggest taina. They probably might, those who had this specific taina against the clamp, might be the ones, I don't know who doesn't have the hemostat, who will be against the hemostat as well. You're talking, could be, I'd have to check up who says which time. It's not exact, it's definitely not, because the clamp is much more stark. Much more stark, the much
less. I don't know how it clamps it, but how much Priya is...
Why? Even if I would do it theoretically with my hands, once I pull up, before I even get a chance to leave go, I put on the clamp, and nothing's going to slip back after that.
And if you use a guard, so...
What do you mean, a regular shield?
Money slipping back if you have a hemostat on it.
But it could be a little bit does. It could be still a teeny bit does. Okay, it's not. It's still a little bit still does. It's still a little bit still does. But it could be right. It could be. I'd have to check if it's the same ones who would not have the same time. There's a famous machlokes about the following. When we have the arla skin, okay, enough with the priya skin. We have the arla skin. How do I have to get rid of that arla skin? Do I have to cut the arla skin off, or is it enough to just reveal the atara, be megala the atara in some other way? Let's say I could be megala the atara without cutting anything. Is that good enough or not? And I'll explain to you the metzias in a second. Meaning, I have the skin like this. If theoretically, let's say it wasn't so tight, I could push, and I could be megala the atara without cutting anything. Is that a kasher bris or not? So it's well known that the Chochmas Sadom says, no, he says very strong, it's only if you cut. You have to cut. The Chassam Sefer in Yardaya Reish Mem Tes also has an Arichos, says you have to cut. He says the taich of the word Mila, Tamal, is to cut. It has to be that you cut. The Targum of Mila is Gzeira. Lech Lecha Yud Zayin Yud Aleph, that the geyser is to cut. The Rambam on the Shulchan Aruch, they always say v'chaydchen by the Arla. They always say chaydchen. But one opinion is that Badafka has to cut. Anybody know who's the one who argues? The Divrei Chaim, the Tzanzarov. The Tzanzarov, you can see how many tshuvas he wrote about it. Kuf Yud Dalid through Kuf Yud Ches. He says, very strongly, you don't have to cut. You don't have to cut. He says, it's enough to be Megala. Just do Gilui. Reveal the Atara. He says, if the skin is already Lamata, it's underneath the Atara, and the Moil cuts unnecessarily. He says he's a Reitzeach. He's from the Zari Shalamolek. He's anyone who says not like this, he says, is Ein Lecha Moyach B'Kadkadai. And he says, Afilu Amar Li Navi Loit Saisinam Leit. So he's very stark. He says that you don't have to cut. You don't now. Chacham Sadam and the Chassam Sefer say you do have to cut. He says you don't have to cut. You just have to be megala the atara. Rav Moshe, I saw him in Piyah Shmuel, that Rav Moshe Paskins that you have to cut like the Chacham Sadam and the Chassam Sefer. Where is this negeya? 99.9% of the time, when you open up a diaper, you can't be megala the atara unless you cut something. At least maybe you could push it, but it's going to fall right back. Where is this negeya? This is negeya mainly by something that is called a hypospadias. Now, it's important to know about a hypospadias a little bit when you learn Hilchos Mila, but just in general in life, that this way you don't hurt anybody's feelings and you don't make yourself look silly. What's a hypospadias? A hypospadias means when Nebuch, a baby, is born with the hole in the wrong place. When the hole is in the wrong place, we know that the hole is in the middle, and sometimes there's seven different levels of hypospadias where the hole... The classic bad case of hypospadias is level 4, where the hole is Nebuch on the shaft. It's below. It's where the atara meets the shaft, on the bottom. Now, the baby needs a surgery to be able to put the hole in the middle where it belongs. It can't have the surgery as a little baby. 6 months old, 8 months old, 10 months old, depends when the pediatric urologist is comfortable to do the surgery. The thing is that those cases of all those cases of hypospadias, where it's level 4, where it's on the bottom over here, not we're just stomp the holes a little bit lower, but if the hole's on the bottom, so that comes along with a very, very, very small arla. It almost looks like the baby's born with a bris. A noilad mol. I don't know, hey, noilad mol. I don't know if you got up to the sugis of noilad mol in the Shulchan Aruch, but it looks like noilad mol, but it's not. It's not noilad mol. There is a small arla skin, right, covering the atara a little bit. So the child is an aral. Can't have a carbon pesach, he can't be sach b'shem until truma. He's an aral. But it doesn't really look like that. It looks like he was born with the bris. Somebody who's not trained in it, it looks like he's born with the bris. So what do you do? This kid, Nebuch, he needs a surgery at one point. Someone says, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov, when's the bris? He can't do the bris. Why? Because to do the surgery later, the pediatric urologist, he needs the skin to graft the skin for the surgery. Can't tell you too many details because I'm not a surgeon. I've never done the surgery. I've watched many. But that skin, many times they need that skin down the road for the surgery later. Again, they have to get the hole to the middle. This way, this child could have children. This he could go to the bathroom standing up. It's important for him to have the hole in the middle where it belongs. And they need that skin many times. The pediatric girl is going to say, you can't cut that skin. I need that skin down the road. So the kid is healthy, but he can't have a bris. Somebody says, what time is the bris? Mazel tov, okay, good, what time is the bris? So what do you tell people? We can't have the bris on time. So it's not good for people to know that this child has this issue. For shaduchim down the road, well, after the surgery, he'll be 100% healthy, he could get married and everything will be fine. It's not necessary for the hamayinam to know that this child was born as a hypospadias. He'll have a surgery and everything will be fine. So what do you tell people? Why is there no bris? So what do you tell people? You tell people, oh, he was born with a bris. He was born noilad mohol. That's what it really looks like. I've had where a father called me. I had done a previous boy for him already. He says, Mom, that's it. I call him Mazel Tov. He calls me. I say, Mazel Tov, wonderful. He says, but I just think that it looks like the baby's born with a bris. I'm not sure. I have to speak to the doctor. I don't know. So it wasn't my job on the phone to tell him, I think your kid is a hypospadias. But a half hour later, he calls me and he says, did you ever hear of something hypospadias? I said, I was going to tell you that your son is hypospadias. And, you know, so what a lot of times can be done is, and I've done this Baruch Hashem, I think I've done a lot of time, like 5 or 6, which is a lot, that the pediatric urologist gave me permission to do the bris on the 8th day on hypospadias. And I met with him. Sometimes I go to Manhattan, I go here, and I meet with the doctor and the baby, and they say, I need to cut up till here to make it a kosher bris. And they say, till there? Good. You could have till there, but don't cut past there. Up to there, you could cut. I say, good, that's enough for me to make it a kosher bris. And then we have the bris like regular. I make a bracha, because he's an Aro. I make the bracha, and that could be done. I've had where there are certain Rabbanim that I know they like to watch very closely. A lot of people like to watch, but certain Rabbanim like to watch. So one time, there was a Rav in a certain neighborhood. He was watching up close, and I told him. I said, this one's going to be different. I said, don't ask questions. But this one, he wasn't so close to the family, so he didn't know about it. I said, you know, you don't use a knife, you use the scissors, because it's just, you know, to cut that little skin around. Growing up, I used to think, oh, the less you have to cut, the easier it is. It's mamish, just the opposite. The less you have to cut, it's harder to get a grab on it, it's harder to get a tfisa, you have to be more bidiyuk. So that's what a hypospadias is. So if anyone ever tells you, oh, my son's not having a bris because he was born with a bris, don't ever say, whoa, that's incredible, he's zeich to be a tzaddik. It's very possible. It's an uncomfortable situation where is the hypospadias? So this is where. Sorry. Exactly. So this is where the Chochmas Sodom and the Divrei Chaim come in. Here you have a case, a hypospadias, where theoretically, it's pashut like this, that you could just take that skin and boom, just push it down. You push it down. That's all you have to do. It's going to stay down. It's going to stay down because it's so tight up against that little bit that it'll snap back. And it's not going to come back. So a person has to ask a shayla, am I allowed to rely on the Divrei Chaim? A mayel in Eretz Yisrael told me, in the name of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, I can't vouch for this, I just heard this from another mayel, that Mishum Kavod HaBrias came from Lazoch on the Divrei Chaim. Or you can tell people, hey, there's no Brias, and whatever you... You can make a bris, and you just push it down. You can't cut it off, because the doctor needs it. If the doctor says, no, you can't cut that off, I need it. So you could just push it down. Other pais can say, no, you got to cut. And sometimes the male will get permission to cut. But that's where this Chochmas Adam comes into play.
If you cut again later, are you yotze?
What do you mean again later? What do you mean?
So you have to do the surgery.
Right. Oh, so what I've done many times, I did this just recently, what I do many times, tell me if I'm answering your question, I'm on staff in certain hospitals, and I could assist on the surgery, which means that the baby has a surgery when he's 8 months old. So the pediatric urologist is not a yid, or he's not a frum yid, and I could come in, my father's also on staff there, and my shvager, and we do the cut. We just do the first cut to be megala da'atara, and then the pediatric urologist takes over from there, and he does the rest of the surgery. And this way the kid can have a kosher bris. Otherwise, if the pediatric urologist is a guy, so... it's not, where's the L'shem Mitzvah Smila? He can't have in mind L'shem Mitzvah Smila. So you'll learn about the sugyas of a guy being a male, but L'shem Hagrizim, fine, you'll get to that. But that's sometimes what is possible to be done. Does that answer your question?
Look at Divrei Chaim in the beginning. Are you going to lose your opportunity later?
According to Divrei Chaim, you're right, Seyach. I'm saying, are you relying on a Divrei Chaim or not?
If you roll back the skin, are you right, losing your opportunity later to do something before the surgery?
I guess according to the Chacham Sadam, you're not losing the opportunity, because since you didn't cut, you weren't yet to the mitzvah. I have to think about that, but it could be that.
The Shaila is, if you're going to make on the Shmini, you're going to do it like the Rechaim.
Right, to fool everybody.
Surgery, you're gonna
you do that.
Like
right.
So now when do you make the bracha?
Depends which one you're really relying on. There's a Shaila, I just had it recently, where I did the surgery, I did the cut, I made my bracha, and I did the cut, and then I didn't stay for the whole 3-hour surgery. It's a long surgery. It was on a Friday. I had to get back. But I went out to the waiting room where the parents were. When does the father make his bracha of lachnisa bevisa shel Avraham Avinu? Can he? Obviously, the parents are not allowed into the OR, into the operating room. So can he make his bracha of lachnisa? That surgery's still going on. I finished my thing, my job, a few minutes ago, and I took off all the scrubs, and by the time I get out to the waiting room, so I saw brought in a sefer that as long as the surgery's still going on, he can make his bracha of Lach Nisef and the Shevet Kahasi. So I told them, that's what I tell people. I come out to the surgery, to the waiting room. I tell them to bring a becher and a wine, and they have the Kriya Shem. Sometimes at that point, unless they already made a Kriya Shem, good, they asked, maybe they asked their own Shiloh, but I saw Paskin that they could make their bracha, they could make the bracha at that time. Gradad, my first question on my faher for the Rabbanut, so I was told that it's a very, very difficult faher, and you have to I think I turned this off. You have to study hard. You have to do the tour and the Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara and the Rashi and the Tosfos and everything. And you have to do all the Shalos and Shuvas. I studied for months and months and months. And the first question that the Boichin asked me was, he said, let's say the father is watching the Bris by Skype from 6,000 miles away. The Bris is in America and the Aviyah Ben's in Eretz Yisrael, or vice versa. And he's watching it b'shas ma'isa. Can he make his bracha of lachnisa bevisa shel Avraham Avinu? I'm like, I chazed for months and months for this fahar. That was his first shayla. So
the brachas are the same.
The what?
Maybe saying
before
the
same thing. Right, right. That's the shayla. Maybe he could say it because he knows it's happening. Let's assume that there's no delay. Whatever. Maybe yes. Maybe no. So the whole idea of an oral fahar is just to impress the other person, and you're just trying to impress him. So I just wanted to show off that I know the Taisis and Psachim Dav Zayin, that is maybe that's a Birchas HaShvach instead of a Birchas HaMitzvah. So I said, oh, according to the Rebbeinu Tam, that it's a Birchas HaShvach, then maybe you could, a Birchas HaMitzvah, maybe not. I don't know if that makes any sense. I just wanted to show him that I know the Taisis. But so he didn't even tell me the answer. He just went weiter, and he just went. I found out afterwards. So when I got back to the mirror and I told my friends, I said, oh, this was the Shiloh. So they were hacking. So one guy did more research into it. My Reish Chabura did more research. And he found out that it was Machlekes Rabbi Yashiv and Rabbi Meir Bransdorfer. I don't remember who said what, but one of them said yes and one of them said no. So good. So whatever you say, you're right. But that's just an interesting Shiloh. It's a good shayla. It's a very good shayla because by the surgery, I'm not really cutting anything off. I'm cutting and they're not removing it and burying it, but he's using it on the underside for the surgery. So it seems as if, at least according to the Chassam Sofer, I have to check up the Lushainis again, but it seems like that as long as you cut, it doesn't have to be cut off, but it's cut, and of course that the Atara is Megula.
That the doctors don't want to do right away, even just a cut, even if you don't take away.
Yeah, well, you can't have the skin hanging there. It's going to die. The skin's going to die. Yeah, it's not going to work.
If you need it for the surgery, then you don't have to bury it.
I guess so. Yeah, I mean, to bury it is a minik. So it's pirkei derabbi Elazar. You bury in the arla is like the nachash, and the nachash is the satan, and the arla is the satan, and yeah, it's all good. But yeah, if you need it for surgery, so Noilad Mahal. We mentioned about Noilad Mahal before. You'll come across the Gemara about Noilad Mahal, and you'll come across the Shulchan Aruch Noilad Mahal from hundreds of years ago already. The Paiskim write, and there's no such thing as Noilad Mahal anymore. And that's why you know. If somebody says to you, oh, more I heard there was Noilad Mahal, it was a hypospadias. And don't ask any questions because you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but there's no Noilad Mahal. I'll tell you, the Medrash says 13 people that were Noilad Mahal, and you'll understand that these are 13 special people, and not some Joe Schmo from somewhere, oh, Noilad Mahal in 2017. Adam, Sheis, Noyach, Yaakov, Yosef, Moshe, Eiv. And then another Medrash adds another six people: Shem, Bilam, who's Medaberes and Mashchina, Shmuel, David, Yirmiyah, and Zerubbabel. So chashuv of people were Noilad Mahal, and that's as far as Noilad Mahal. What's a toughest ambris? You come across. You have a question?
Yeah, not all hypospadias are created equal.
Correct. I said there's seven levels of hypospadias.
So, sorry.
I know that there's seven levels of hypospadias. The standard. Some hypospadiases, you could just do a regular bris, and it'll straighten out by itself, but it's classified as a hypospadias. That's not a bad case of hypospadias.
How do you decide?
The pediatric urologist decides. Yeah.
You get together with him.
Sure, definitely, you get together. Yeah, definitely, sure. Many times I get together mamish at the same time, and sometimes the pediatric urologist will look at the baby and will speak on the phone, and I'm looking at the baby, so, and sometimes that's enough. Sometimes that's not enough. I've gone to Manhattan, I've gone to, Yeah, you got to work together with the doctor, certainly.
Excuse me, I didn't catch any comment. Does the Priya roll onto the Atara?
No. If it grows onto the Atara, that's not a kosher bris. It has to rest and grow in on the shaft underneath the Atara, below the Atara.
And what percentage of the Priya and the Borla end up cutting?
percentage based on the shaft? Depends.
Of the Priya and the Orla itself? Like, you cut half of it, a third of it?
I'm not sure what you mean. The Orla, till past the Atara, you cut 100% of it. As far as the whole shaft is concerned, not covering the Atara. Covering the Atara, you cut it all off. That's the mitzvah. But past the Atara, until the stomach, that depends how long it is. That is all left there. Percentage.
Is it a 360-degree circumference around?
Correct. It's like this. It starts like this. Yeah, all the way around.
All the way around.
Right, but you pull up and you just cut down. You don't cut around. You pull it up, you put the protective shield, and you cut like this. Some of them don't even use a shield. They just simply cut down like that. But it's just one cut. One cut.
Why doesn't it have to be cutting all the way around if it's attached from all angles?
Civilian?
Why doesn't it have to be...
It's not attached. It's once it's pulled up from the Atara, the Aura was not attached to the Atara. It's pulled up, and then it's cut off, and then the Atara pops out. And that's
cut off. What? It's like I'm cutting off of a cylinder.
Right, exactly. Right. I've had times where the father wants to do the cut. The father wants to do the cut. It's his mitzvah, right? Somebody asked me to speak about the mitzvah. So it's the father's mitzvah, we know. Okay, you learn Kedusha Chavtes, Bezdin, and what? But it's the father's mitzvah. So sometimes the father wants to do the cut. So the Amoylim, that they don't let. They don't let. He said, you want to do the cut? We don't let. Why? Because it's the father's responsibility. It's the Moyle's responsibility. So if the father messes up, so that's the Moyle's responsibility. Now, once the shield is on, how can somebody mess up? There's certainly ways you can mess up. You have to cut flush against the shield. If you don't cut flush against the shield, there's going to be skin left over. Then what are you going to do? Like you mentioned, you have to cut a second time. It's not easy to cut a second time. You have to cut flush against the shield. If there's a little bit left over, fine, nishkefrelach. But if there's a lot left over, it's not a pretty scene. Also, you cut, and halfway through the cut, you realize you're cutting skin, and you're cutting your own son's skin. So let's say you stop halfway. It's not recommended. I don't not let. If a father really wants to do the cut, I let him do the cut. And when I go check the baby before the bris, I go a few days before, always. And we go over a few different things. And I tell them what they have to do, what they don't have to do, what they have to not do, what I mean to say. And then they do the cut, but I discourage it. I don't not let, but I discourage it. If it really means a lot to the father, I would let. Every mile has his policy, I guess, of what they feel comfortable, letting the father do. Hatafistan bris. What's a hatafistan bris? You'll certainly come across hatafistan bris. Hatafistan bris, where the Gemara talks about hatafistan bris, is by Noilad Mol. By Noilad Mol. So by Noilad Mol, it already has a bris. So what are you going to do? There's nothing to do. So the Gemara says, Beisul, Beishamai, we paskin that he needs to have, like we said before, part of the mitzvah is to draw blood. So you draw blood from that area, l'shem mitzvah smila. There's nothing to cut. He was born with the bris. He's totally noil and mol. Talking about in the times of the Gemara. Totally noil and mol. So you do draw a tiny, tiny, tiny speck of blood. And then that you have in mind, we pass again that there's no bracha on a tafestan bris, and that you have in mind l'shem mitzvah smila, and that is the mitzvah smila. Sorry.
Which area?
Oh, we'll get to that right now. So hold on, before we get to exactly which area, the makam amila, but we'll get to exactly where in a moment. Nowadays we have another much more common case of a tafestan bris, and that is if you have somebody who's a bal tshuva, and they had a bris. When they were a child, they had a bris. Their parents made sure that they had a bris, but it wasn't done by a frumayel. It was done maybe in the hospital by a doctor that wasn't Jewish, or Paiskim say so too. If it wasn't a frum yid, you can't rely on that mitzvah mila. So there's no arla. There's no arla, and he's a yid, but he didn't have a mila l'shem mitzvah mila. So all he needs is a tiny speck of blood l'shem mitzvah mila. Whenever I've done this to many, many individuals, I use my father's line, and my father says, he tells them, it's more embarrassing than painful. It's more embarrassing than painful. You take a lancet, it's a tiny speck of blood. The Chazon Ish has a kula that it doesn't even need, you don't even need to draw blood. As long as the dam is nitzrar, that's enough. Usually we makbid to get actually a real speck of blood. I wear gloves. After that, I wear gloves because it's an adult. It's a little uncomfortable for me and for him to touch with my bare hands. So I wear gloves. And I do a tiny speck of blood. I have a speck of blood on my glove, and that's enough. If he's a Baal Tshuva, so you don't need Edim. It's not Geirus. You don't need Edim. It's just me and him alone. I've done it in my basement. I've done it in yeshiva dormitories. I've done it in basements of shuls. I've done it in many, many different places where the person calls me and we work it out. Sometimes I've gotten them from my father. If it's a case of a Geirus, I'm not on a Bezdin for Geirus, so they have three Dayanim there and in charge of the Bezdin, and I've done a toughest down bris by mikvahs. They have the Geirus. I felt, and my father agrees with me, and all the Rabbanim that I've used, not that I've used, that all the Rabbanim for Geirus that I've seen, they all agreed that they don't have, the Edim and the three, you know, the Bezdin, the three people, they don't have to watch, you know, it's uncomfortable. Here's this Yid, he's coming to be Megayer, not a Yid, he's a person coming to be Megayer, and they're watching closely. You know, they stand back. I do what I need to do. I show the Edim, I show the Bezdin, the blood on my gloves, and they all felt that was maspik. I'm sure there are Bezdins out there that are makbid, that they mamish see me draw the speck of blood, that see the mile draw the speck of blood. Good yeshvish, they'll paskin for themselves. Where exactly on the gid do you draw the blood from? So the Avnei Nezer says that you draw it from the atara. Very painful. You draw it from the atara. The Chazon Ish, and he says very strongly, it has to be from the Atara. The Chazon Ish says, Pumfa Keret, he says, Chas V'Shalom, he says, not from the Atara, you do it on the shaft itself, on the shaft. Now, you could hear each side, it's not for us to decide who's right and wrong, but you could hear either side. You could definitely hear the Chazon Ish, because that's where the incision was many years ago when he had a bris, that's where the cut was. So the Chazon Ish shows that it's on the shaft. The first time I've seen many Atafistan bris growing up. I have memories of many people coming to my house, my father taking them to the basement and to the bedroom and doing it, and my father let me be there when I reached a certain age. But in Eretz Yisrael, so I watched Atafistan brisim, and what they did was, and this is based on Rav Yashiv and Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, that they draw blood from both. The shaft and the atara. Why? Because it's machlokes, which one is the right one. So to be makbid, that you make sure you get it correct, you do both, and you ask mechila from the individual that whichever one was the wrong one, please be meichel me that I wasn't that I gave you a chabura, not to be over on the Yosef. Chazon Ish says if you do the top, you're over on the Yosef. It's an aveir in the Torah. So you ask the mechila and the Rabbi Shmuel Zalman and Rabbi Yashiv, I forgot which one of them. One of them says that you don't even have to ask. You could assume that they're meichel. They want to do keshura. They want to do it, you know, I'll pee all the shitas. So you could assume that they're meichel. You don't even have to ask. When I came back to America, I moved back to America 11 years ago. So I came back to America. My father gave me a toughest tambris. I don't know, he was out of town. He was busy, whatever. So I said, okay, fine, not a problem. It was a 13-month-old baby. And I don't remember why he didn't have a bris originally. Maybe he did, but it just wasn't done. You know, I'll pee Mila. As I told my father, okay, not a problem, and I'll do on top and on bottom, and I'll ask Mechila. He's like, what? You crazy? You twice? You don't do it? I said, well, what do you do? He says, in America, we do on the shaft, only on the shaft. Like the Chazon Ish. So that's what told the toughest dumb bris that I've done in America. I do only on the shaft, which is much less painful than on the Atara itself. So it's on the shaft itself. I think it's easier to draw blood from that point, from that area, and that's the way we do. At least that's the way I do. My father does hatafas tambris. I had once a very unfortunate maisa that I had a friend who was in Kiruv, and he had this guy that he was teaching him Gemara, and he was becoming more and more frum step by step, and he was ready to have hatafas tambris. He had a bris as a child, so I spoke to him on the phone, and I said, okay, good, you come to Passaic, I live in Passaic, I'll pick you up from the train station, I'll bring it to my house. But I told him, I said, and this is very important, whenever you do a Tafestan bris on an adult, or even on a child, it's got to be a kosher bris. The Atara has to be revealed. If whoever did the bris when the baby was a little, when the guy was a little baby, if he didn't cut off enough skin, that's not a kosher bris. You could do a Tafestan bris from Heimpis Morgan, it's not going to help. The Arla is still there. So that's the first thing I always tell them. Before they get undressed, I tell them, or I speak to them on the phone, I tell them, by the way, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to check that the bris is a kosher bris. If it's good, then I'm going to just draw a speck of blood and I tell them what I'm going to do. So I told this guy on the phone, he's like, well, actually, you know, there's a piece of skin. Hey, I'll show you when I get there. I'm like, okay. I pick him up from the train station. I bring him to my house. I take him to my basement. Nice guy. He gets undressed and there's a problem. There was a piece of skin that I wasn't sure. When you get the Reich Samach Dalet, you'll see what's the Torah exactly, and Tzitzin HaMa'akvin, Tzitzin Sheina HaMa'akvin. It was a problem. and I said I can't do this. I have to look into this. I have to see if this is. I said I feel terrible that I made you travel all the way to Passaic. He took a train. I picked him up. I said, but I said I have to. I can't do this. I have to look into this. It's embarrassing, you know. When he didn't pay me, you know. So it was a decision that I had to make, mamish, on the spot. I spoke to my father. I spoke to Rav David Cohen. I spoke to different people. I called him back a few days later. Whew, he was so angry. He was not happy. He said, here, I'm trying to become more religious, and I'm trying to learn Torah, and here it's being thrown back in my face that I'm not good enough. I said, no. I said, you're Jewish. You're great. I said, continue learning Torah. He says, no, I don't want any of it anymore. I said, no. I said, forget it. I said, let's put this aside. Forget the bris. He said, I was going to go to Israel. I think I'm going to change my mind. I'm not going to go to Israel to learn. I said, go to Israel. Study more Torah. I said, we'll revisit this in a couple of years when you get back from Israel. Let's not. I mean, I was fine to push it off. Like, he was so nervous as it is. He was out of a job at the time. He was in a very down state. I spoke to Kiru professionals. It was like, but that's when you deal with the toughest on bris. That's something that you have to be careful of. That you got to make sure that it's a kosher bris. Anything else you want me to talk about in 3 minutes? Mitzitza bepeh. We're not going to talk about. But as far as mitzitza, we know the Gemara says that there's 4 parts. The Mishnah says that there's 4 parts. There's Mila, Priya, Metzitza, and the Ispalonis, the bandage. Mila, Priya, Metzitza, and the Ispalonis. So Zok the Ran and Chidushi Aran, classic Rishayim. He says, obviously, the Mila and the Priya is part of the Maisa Mila. That's the Mila. The bandage is obviously, it's very important, but it's not part of the Maisa Mila. It's not a chilek of the Maisa. It's not a chilek of the Maisa Mila. Not Chil Shabbos, you could put on a bandage on Shabbos, but that's not a chelik of the Maisa Mila. The Ran leaves off, he blinds with the Tzarechi, and is the Mitzitza a chelik of the Maisa Mila? Is it a necessary component, or is it mamish a part of the Maisa Mila? Fishteitzach, all the Shash and Shubas for him, they go back and forth, back and trying to bring Rayas, Lakan, or Lakan from Gemaras and Rishayim, and back and forth. Is the Mitzitza a chelik of the Maisa Mila? We know the Gemara says that the purpose of Mitzitza is for refuah purposes. It says very stark, any moil that doesn't do Mitzitza, mavrinale, he can't be a moil anymore. He has to do Mitzitza, because it's dangerous to the baby, it's for refuah purposes. So the Achronim discuss, many Lishayas and Tshuvas, does the Gemara mean that it's only for refuah purposes? Or does it mean, no, it's certainly for refuah, and it's very important, but there's other reasons why we do Mitzitza also. So, a very big nafkamina. If it's only for refuah purposes, there's nothing special about mitzitza, there's nothing, it's only for refuah purposes. If that's the case, then if teva changed, and people, babies, have circumcisions all the time without mitzitza, and they seem fine, maybe we could just do away with mitzitza. So that's a big discussion in the Paiskim, all the way until nowadays. The Paiskim discuss, how does mitzitza help the baby? What does mitzitza do? That it's a sakana for the baby if you don't do mitzitza, but if you do mitzitza, then everything's safe. So there's 7 mahalchim that I found. It's first, you saw the gid can swell up, otherwise the stechemet says the makam chatach can get swollen, the stechemet says another pshad, it's not clean, the less dam, it hurts, you know, like you put something to your mouth when it hurts, something like that. So they look for reasons for the mitzitza. So good. So has Teva changed? Has Teva not changed? So you could look at the Shemesh Marpe, the Steichemen has a long piece of Mitzitza, the Meram Sheik, the Binyan Siyan. Good, so when you come across the Halachas of Mitzitza, you'll get to those Halachas. 9:44, we'll stop for Marv. Yeshekoich, again, it's a schuz to be here, and Bez Hashem, I should be zeichet to come back and discuss talk and learning in the future as well. So they hold that it's mamash a chiluk of the ma'aseh mila. It's a chiluk of the ma'aseh mila, and if you're not going to do it, you're missing the chiluk of the ma'aseh mila. That's what they hold. Whoever says such a thing holds like this.
Refused to let me teach and book, so I'm not coming to the rest.
Right, yes, yeah, so that's. Yeah.